We arrived at the last talk of today. You may have already noticed that there was a slight change in the program. The originally planned last talk was the first, and the originally planned first talk became the last one. And thanks to Lutz Hansa, but it should work out this way. So the last speaker is Jean-Dos Moldebekov. He conducted his undergraduate studies in Kazakhstan, in Almaty. Then he left to Germany, to the Christian Albrechts University in Kiel, where he was supervised by Professor Michael Bunitz, who is the head of the theoretical department. And Jean-Dos stayed there after PhD for a period of postdoc studies. And after returning to Kazakhstan, he came back to Germany, and now he is at the Center of Advanced Systems Understanding, which is a fairly new Helmholtz Zentrum in Germany. His topics focused on warm dense matter, strongly coupled quantum systems, quantum kinetic theory, quantum simulations, and related stuff. So, yeah, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that you invited me to this wonderful event. So I would like just to mention that's my second visit of the Budapest. The first one was in 2011. I was master's student at that time, and it was conference organized by Peter Hartmann and Rothenberger. And that was a really wonderful event. And I have really, really, really warm feelings about Budapest after that. So that's why when Peter wrote me if I would like to participate, I immediately agreed. So today I'm going to speak about in general, density response of quantum systems in the context of the warm dense matter. So I will start with the linear response theory, then I will extend to the nonlinear regime, and then I will present some general results of finite for the uniform electron gas using the Wigner distribution function to highlight the relation to this conference. So well, as Peter told us, my field is warm dense matter. So warm dense matter is essentially the system which is under high pressure and relatively high temperature. So it's a plasma, it's not the solid state, it's something in between. So in terms of density, it's the solid density and higher. In terms of temperature, it's starting from a few EV to 100 EV, let's say. And there are a number of the large research facilities where experiments are being done on the investigation of the warm dense matter, such as National Ignition Facility, European XFL, SLAC, Omega Laser Facility, et cetera. And the motivation for existence of this research field is laboratory astrophysics, since the warm dense matter state is naturally occurs in the course of planets in such a stars like the white dwarfs, brown dwarfs. Also, there is so-called materials under extreme conditions. So the research direction where people try to understand how the material properties change once they go through the extreme state and come back. So there's also hot electron chemistry where you also generate such a partially degenerate electron in solid. And also, of course, the most famous application is inertial confinement fusion, where you have hot plasma, but to reach that condition, you have to go through the warm dense matter regime. So, well, linear response theory. I am pretty sure that everybody have a certain understanding what does it mean. So essentially, what we do, we perturb system and see what's the reaction of the system to the weak perturbation. And if the perturbation is very weak, we assume that we don't change the properties of the material, and therefore we can probe different physical properties, transfer properties. And this is very much relevant to the warm dense matter regime, for example, since the main diagnostic tool is so-called X-ray Thomson scattering. So since this extreme state, which has the pressure of the hundreds of gigabars and the high temperatures, it exists for a very short period of time, dozens of picoseconds, and you cannot just take two electrons and measure the conductivity. So the main diagnostic tool nowadays is X-ray Thomson scattering. So essentially what you do, you scatter you send certain signal perturb system, you measure the scattering. scatter a signal, and you measure the change. And this is the relation. This is the density change due to external perturbation, which is what we say our probe. And the connection between them is given by the density-density response function. And essentially, in experiment, what we know the external perturbation, and what we see, what kind of outcome comes out of it. So we see essentially more or less what kind of density perturbation we have due to this external field. And then the question is whether we can incur, whether we can find the density-density response function connecting these two. And if we know the density-density response function, then using the linear response theory, we can get via fluctuation dissipation theorem such a property like the structure factor, structure factor. And that one also connected to thermodynamics and connected to different transfer properties. So therefore we get access to the whole range of the physical properties we're interested in. So, and in this, so I can see the Wormless matter regime, and in Wormless matter regime, so the mean interparticle distance, which we often call the Wigner radius, is close to the first law radius. And the temperature of the system is close to the Fermi temperature. That's why it partially degenerate. And usually this ratio, which is also RS, also called Wigner-Waitz radius in atomic units, when it's about one, it means that electrons are correlated. So we cannot neglect correlations. We cannot neglect quantum effects. So we have the best of two worlds, of classical and quantum. And that's why it's complicated, since we cannot use the method developed for ground state, it's strongly degenerate, and we also cannot use the method developed for plasma physics, since there is no quantum degeneracy. So there are different methods to study to use for the so-called ab initio investigation of warm dense matter, and I'm mainly going to speak about the so-called linear response time-dependent density functional theory. There is real-time TDDFT. There is also past integral quantum Monte Carlo result, which I will also show in presentation, but mainly I am going to discuss the use of the first method. So, well, now I told you I'm going to use linear response time-dependent density functional theory. And I hope, I guess that most of you have understanding of the density functional theory. It's essentially mapping of the real system on the some auxiliary or fake ideal electronic system, which mimics properties of the real system. And that is due to so-called exchange correlation functional. So, and if you know exchange correlation functional, you can describe real system by simulating this ideal system. And this method is essentially a workhorse in quantum chemistry, and nowadays also for the study of the matter and extreme conditions. And depending on the complexity of the exchange correlation functional, you have different level of the description. The simplest one, so-called LDA, local density approximation, and you go up to the so-called generalized gradient approximations, to hybrid method, to the fully non-local exchange correlation functional, and in DFT, it's called the DFT heaven, the functional which gives you the exact result. So, well, and it turned out that, as I told you, I'm interested in studying the linear response of the probe of the system. And it turned out that there is no really, for extended systems, there is no way to compute this exchange. Oh my God, I did something wrong. So there is no really system to compute to go to the description beyond this, to certain level of this hierarchy. So let me explain you what I mean. So the point is that, so this is a density response function, and the standard way to describe it is to introduce the following ansatz. So you have so-called chi naught, which is a density response function of the ideal system, and you have so-called exchange correlation kernel, which essentially describes the difference between the real system and ideal system. And if you know exchange correlation kernel, you can compute the density response of ideal systems, and you can get access to the density response of the real system. So, well, and the calculation of this exchange correlation kernel turned out to be the problematic for extended systems. Since, for example, so-called hybrid exchange correlation functionals, they depend on wave functions, so it's completely non-local, and in order to compute in standard ways the exchange correlation kernel, you need to get the second order functional derivative with respect to density. And that has not been done. That has not been done. And for us, it was very important to go to the such higher level of the description to get the reliable results. And we just found a way around of it, which circumvents completely the problem of computing functional derivatives. So essentially, using the ansatz, which I showed in previous slide, I can get exchange correlation kernel by taking the difference between inverse of the static density response function, ideal one and the real one. So well, but it seems to be like close the loop, right? Because according to the previous equation, to get the density response function of the real system, you need the exchange correlation kernel, right? So in order to break this loop, what we do is, I managed it. You just press it long enough and it changed. Yeah. No worries. So, so what we do is the following. We take the system, we do the DFT simulation, we compute the density response, single particle density response of the system. We repeat the simulation, but with the external harmonic perturbation as shown here. And then after taking these two densities, the difference gives a density perturbation due to external field. So essentially, I'm repeating which is actually done in experiment. And then that gives us, so if I have the density perturbation, I know my external field, I can get the density response function. If I know density response function, I know the density response function of ideal system as well, I get the exchange correlation kernel. Exchange correlation kernel goes to the linear response to the DFT. And as I said, by a fluctuation dissipation theorem, it opens up the way to the all physical properties of the system. So essentially, in this way, we solve this problem of computing exchange correlation kernel for different levels of the description. And now it can be done using the open access programs like GPO, Abinit, Quantum Expresso. So one does not need anything extra using this method. Just can use that one. So well, and there are some results and the density response function. And since I'm using warm dense matter, and the Kohn-Sham DFT in general is developed for the ground state application, the condensed matter system. And but in warm dense matter regime, we have high temperatures. So the question is, can we use the exchange correlation functional sort of methods generated for the ground state? And it turned out, okay, in order to tackle that one, recently there was some development in the exchange correlation functional for high temperatures. And now we used that one, used the ground state result and found very interesting, surprising result that for the density response function, the ground state result is actually more accurate than, so it's a blue line compared to the solid line. Solid line is the exact result for electron gas. And the red circles here are computed using finite temperature exchange correlation functional. So we see that the blue circles are closer to the solid line. It means that actually the ground state exchange correlation functional on LDA level gives more accurate result than the exchange correlation functional level for high temperature. And that's kind of interesting. That means that there's a lot of things to do before we just start using the different available approximations. So I skipped this one. This is the result for the exchange correlation kernel, the same conclusion. And then we went beyond to the more complicated systems above to the hybrid, so-called hybrid UJ functional. So what does it mean the hybrid functional? Hybrid exchange correlation functional, it takes the exchange from the Hartree-Fock approximation, which and Hartree-Fock exchange is considered to be the exact exchange. And it mixes up with a certain correlation term in certain approximation. But in general, the ansatz is very clear, but always the problem was to choose to which degree you should mix Hartree-Fock exchange with the considered exchange correlation functional. And it's for solid state systems, there are certain derivations. For molecules, there are certain derivations which justify certain coefficients, but we are interested in the matter which goes from, let's say, low pressure to high pressure regime, from low temperature to high temperatures. And the question is whether we can find the universal mixing coefficient. And it turns out that the method we developed can also be used to compute that mixing coefficient, which is A here. What we do is very simple. We get exact quantum Monte Carlo results for uniform electron gas at different temperatures and at different densities. So we do our perturbation Basel computation of the exchange correlation kernel, and then we can find the mixing coefficient, which reproduces the exact quantum Monte Carlo result. And that we can do for different densities and different temperatures. And in this way, we were able to provide so-called non-empirical derivations for the mixing coefficient of hybrid functionals. So well, that sums up the linear response theory part. Now we can do the simulations of the real materials, the density response function. We can compute density response function of real materials using various exchange correlation functionals. And these methods can be applied to the real, any real system. And that was the goal of the first part of our research in this direction. So now I'm going to do the more nonlinear part, right? So, well, as I told you, you know, in linear response theory, in order to be that theory valid, you need the perturbation, which is weak. But if you increase perturbation, which is relevant to the modern experimental setups, what you have contributions from the nonlinear response function. So for very weak perturbations, so when the density perturbation is really weak, we get just linear connection between density perturbation and density response function. If the perturbation is strong enough, you have the higher order corrections. And the higher order corrections, essentially you have your external field at the given wave number. If the external field is strong enough, you would get the contribution at the wave numbers, at different wave numbers, double of your perturbation, the triple of the wave number of your perturbation. And correspondingly, what you get is a quadratic density response, cubic density response, which are proportional to the square of the perturbation amplitude to the cube of the perturbation amplitude. And that's what we call nonlinear response. And that's very complicated, but our method, which is based on the just perturbing systems, simulating perturbing systems, is actually applicable for nonlinear response description as well, because you just can increase your perturbation amplitude, and by fitting the coefficients to this equation, you can get the density response function. So this is the results for the density response function of electron gas compared to DFT. This is the linear response function, which I discussed. Essentially, we were able to get a really good agreement with the exact quantum Monte Carlo result. This here is the result of quadratic density response function, and the quantum Monte Carlo result has these green symbols here. And our DFT results are these yellow stars, and we see quite nice agreement. Okay, but what if we have quantum Monte Carlo results? What is the motivation to do all of DFT business? The answer is the following: quantum Monte Carlo is very expensive and also restricted in parameter space. It cannot really go to the relatively low temperatures at relatively strong correlation regime, and we really have the data only in the certain areas. It's very close to the problem which in high energy science people have with lattice QCD. So they can provide the results only to the certain, in the certain parameter range. And in contrast, DFT is much cheaper than the quantum Monte Carlo, and it doesn't have this constraint in terms of the density and temperature. So therefore, by benchmarking with the quantum Monte Carlo result at available parameters, we now can extend to the other temperatures. So this left figure corresponds to the partial degeneracy when the Fermi temperature is equal to the thermal energy. The second figure corresponds to the case when the temperature is half of the Fermi temperature. And the last one is the case of completely degenerate electron gas. So we have the same story for the cubic response function. We can get the good agreement. We're able to get good agreement with the exact results at parameters where it's available, and extend the general formalism to the lower temperatures. So it's another cubic response function which appears at the third harmonic essentially. And overall, we also can now benchmark the different theoretical approximations. So in this example, for example, the red line is a theoretical RPE approximation, and the blue line is a theoretical result for the correlated electron gas in the case of when you have a pre-electron gas. And in the case of the partial degeneracy, when the thermal energy is about Fermi temperature, we see that the simulations are in close agreement with the theoretical result. However, for the lower temperatures, we observe significant deviation at relatively low wave numbers of the perturbation that tells us that that theoretical derivations are not really good in that regime. So it's another example of the application. So, and finally, I would like to go to the last part of my presentation, which is more relevant for this conference, is the use of the Wigner distribution functions for the study of the nonlinear quantum response function. So, well, recently, our collaborator, Panagiotis Tolios, did really amazing work. So what he did, he took the free electron gas, then uses the description, or uses the quantum Boltzmann equation in the Wigner representation, meaning using the Wigner, using Wigner distribution in the quantum Boltzmann kinetic equations, and did all what I have showed you. So I did all of everything via simulations, but he did it analytically. And he could solve it because he considered it ideal electron gas without correlation effects. And he was able to compute, to find, analytically derive the analytical formula for the density response function of ideal electron gas for nonlinear response at arbitrary order. So linear, quadratic, cubic, quantonic, whatever it is, right? And it's a really interesting, and it's universal, one universal equation. And the most amazing thing is that, turned out that to compute the nonlinear response function of arbitrary arbitrary order, what you need is only the Linhart function, the density response function in linear response regime. It's everything is just represented by the Linhart function in certain combination. And I call this like nonlinear madness, just because the paper is the equation is very like nice, short. So we were able to write it down on 6 pages, but theoretical derivations, which we provided in supplementary material, is 169 pages. And that's, in my opinion, it's really like this, one of these examples of the physics done in 20th century, when people would write something in half page. Now it's easy to show that this and that, but in reality, in order to derive it, you need 100 pages of the derivations. So kudos to Panagiotis for that. And now I'm going back to the real system. So I started from the linear response of the real systems. I went to the nonlinear response of the ideal system. I'm going back to the real systems now. The point is that, an example of the application is that, let us consider the quadratic density response. So the point is that in the Kohn-Sham DFT formalism, the ideal density response function, which Panagiotis considered to be free electron gas, is replaced by so-called Kohn-Sham density response function. So using the orbitals of the axillary Kohn-Sham system. So A, since we know the general equation now by Panagiotis, we can just use the standard Kohn-Sham response function, put it in, instead of the Linhart function, in the formalism which developed by Panagiotis, and get the ideal density response function within density functional theory. Next, we can add screening into it. And you just take the Poisson equation and solve it in linearized form, you get screening. And the screening is called without correlation effect. And that's random phase approximation. That's example for the quadratic density response. And you don't need extra anything. What you add is just Coulomb potential here. Then third ingredient. Now you want to add correlation effects into it. And that you do via exchange correlation kernel, which is connected to the so-called local field correction, which is the same thing. And what you do essentially, you replace the Coulomb potential by modified one, which is the Coulomb potential in brackets is one minus G. So that's why it's called local field correction. And I showed you how you can compute that exchange correlation kernel for any real material using standard Kohn-Sham DFT, using the open packages. And in this way, now we can compute nonlinear response function of the real materials correlated systems using DFT and this formalism. And the final point is that all of the derivations are general for the dynamic case as well. And with this, I would like to emphasize that we are able to go through all of this paths of the linear response theory and end up with a workflow essentially, which can be used for applications essentially. Yeah. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Jean Ross, for this nice talk. Are there any questions by the late hour, Peter?
Yeah, a little bit uncorrelated question. I know that another part of your works connects these all density functional calculations to quantum hydrodynamics.
Yes.
Could you tell me the relation a little bit?
Yeah, of course, of course, of course, yeah. It's my favorite topic. Essentially, the some time ago, I worked on the field which is called quantum hydrodynamics. Essentially, you have the you have hydrodynamic description of the classical fluid, and we all know the Navier-Stokes equation. And then you have this microscopic description based on quantum kinetics theory, on DFT, quantum Monte Carlo stuff, and you have the certain gap in between in terms of the scale of the simulation you can perform. And the question is there a method which can fill that gap? So which can be the connection between standard macroscopic hydro simulation and the microscopic descriptions? And this method, which is in between, we call quantum hydrodynamics. And the main difference between from the classical DFT, classical hydrodynamics is that you in classical hydrodynamics, what we use is the equation of state to compute the force driving the system, right? And the equation of state depends locally on density and temperature. So it does not have information. The equation of state does not depend on density in some other place. And that dependence of the pressure from the value of the system parameter at the other place, that's quantum locality. And the quantum hydrodynamics essentially adds this missing contribution into it. And that's done by adding the essentially equation of state by providing equation of state which depends not only on density but also on the gradients of the density and or higher order. So that's already adds up the missing quantum locality information into the description, and that method actually turned out to be very successful for not for warm dense matter. For now we are doing some shock simulations. But we couldn't see like significant effect yet, but in plasmonics, because in plasmonics you have this nanoparticle, right? And usually the size can be quite big, then you cannot use the ab initio real-time TdV physics to describe the system. You want to describe the interaction with the external electromagnetic wave. And if you use the local description, then like Thomas Fermi, for example, right? The electrons are locked inside of the material and cannot go outside. What you need is a quantum tunneling effect, allowing electrons to skip the surface and to go out away to certain distance. And turned out that QHD is very effective for that, and it's one of the main fields of the application of the quantum hydrodynamics nowadays.
Thanks. Further interest? Well, if not, then let's thank Jean Ross again.
Yes, thank you very much.
And with this, we conclude today's sessions and have a safe trip home. See you tomorrow.